food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, July 1st, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Well, we had a super day in gold today. And, you know, it's interesting to see the markets were up. And we're going into a three-day weekend, and of course they did bring the markets back to 18,000, which they usually do on a holiday weekend, so folks can go out there and they don't have to worry about their investments, and they can go out and spend a few dollars more than what they normally would. Usually they put pressure on gold, but no pressure seen in gold this week whatsoever. So it's a good, it's a nice trend that we're seeing in gold today, with gold trading in the aftermarket, the New York spot price up 20.70 at 1343. Silver had an awesome day, up 1.01 at 19. I said 1.01 at 1981. Platinum was up 36 at 1062. And palladium was up 4 at $608. So a nice move in silver, a little over 5%. Gold was up a little over 1.5%. And silver didn't make it over 20. It tried. It was 2 cents away from the $20 level. But we'll take 101 at 1981. And the U.S. dollar index today, down 0.29 at 95.65. So a small move in that index doesn't really compensate for the huge rise in gold. Crude oil was only up 80 at 49.13. And the paper markets today, and there was actually a good report that came out today. Normally, if this report would have come out, it would have the Dow would have skyrocketed. But it only managed 19 points. They couldn't get it over 18,000, but they were close, 17,949. The NASDAQ was up 19 points at 48.62. The S&P was up 4 at 21.02. The 10-year yield, 1.46, down 0.03. Euro is holding at 111. And, of course, European markets and Asian markets were all higher overnight. So, the good report that I wanted to point out that should have flushed that market higher was the U.S. factory activity expanded in June at the fastest clip in more than a year. And, you know, so a report like that should have made the markets up much stronger. Now, I do believe the markets were higher earlier in the day, and they did have a reversal. So maybe they moved up based on a report like this, and then they fell back through. As far as gold, you know, statements from the European Central Bank, you had the Bank of England, they're all ready to loosen policy after the Brexit referendum. At least that's what they're saying. To me, I think it's just because, you know, their economies are so bad, and they're trying to make sure that confidence, they're trying to instill that confidence that they need so desperately just to hold things together. The Federal Reserve, the odds of them raising or raising the borrowing costs this year, you know, that's not going to happen. I saw reports they're not going to raise rates until 2018. And so, again, these are signs that show you and tell you that things are not they're very fragile. Central banks are coming out. They're reinforcing what they can, that they're there for stimulus whenever the market's needed. Now, it's not the economies. It's the markets. It's all about the markets.
Well, here's an article from the Daily Bill. And they agree that central banks are coming out and talking about things. They're tracing it to the markets. I'm disinclined. They're tracing it to, yeah, they're claiming Draghi, Mario Draghi at the European Central yes. Bank. He's warning that they've got the central banks have to start working in concert. They have to all do the same thing at the same time.
That's what Japan wanted. They were Japan was calling
for that. It's necessary for a new world order.
Yep,
They've got to synchronize everybody where we're all going up at the same time, all going down at the same time. Otherwise, when the United States is going up, when Japan is going down, Japan needs stimulus. They got to have more Japanese yen. And the United States, when it's getting, that's because they're slow. The United States, if it's getting hot, if the economy is getting hot at the same time, they need to get money out of the economy. And when and in order to do that, they raise interest rates, they slow borrowing. But what it does is the Japanese are printing more yen to supposedly stimulate their economy, but the yen doesn't hang around the Japanese economy because the interest rate's too low. So they fly over to the United States and they're investing here at the same time we're trying to slow the economy by raising interest rates. It attracts foreign capital, which works contrary to what the central banks are trying to do. And my point is, when you have this, you're not going to have a new world order. You're not going to have global government until everyone's economy are synchronized. And one of the things about that, and I've thought this for years, the only way to synchronize everyone's economy is to first collapse everyone's economy. You're never going to get, if the good, strong economies, they need a certain thing, and other economies need the other, they're working against each other. You're not going to get one of them to take the sacrifice and say, well, you just keep getting hotter and hotter. Your economy gets hotter so these other ones can be stimulated. They're not going to do that. They're not going to take that hit. And the only way to put them all together and synchronize them where they're all moving at the same in the same direction at the same time is first drop them all down to zero. They'll never voluntarily go and say, well, we'll balance out with Japan or China or whoever. They won't do it. But if they all zero out, they might do it. And so there's a certain amount of danger in that, because if that analysis is valid, it implies that the central banks, if they realize they've got to all get on the same point in the business cycle, they've all got to go up at the same time, all go down at the same time, then the banks can do what they want to do. If they understand that, then to my mind, they have to be sitting back and somebody say, we need to crash the whole world's economy.
That's exactly what they're going to do. They had to lower our standard of living first. On the next thing, they gather everything that we have. They get it all into a little nest, their own little nest egg, and of course, they collapse it. I mean, because these countries are so deeply in debt that there's, I mean,
canceled. They'll have to zero it out.
Yeah, just like Puerto Rico is doing. And the thing of it is, anymore, I mean, yeah, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, this was something new. This was something like just beginning to understand, you know, what their plan was and so forth. Now it's kind of like, it's so clear as to what they are doing and why they are doing it. Puerto Rico did come out today. They did something that hasn't happened since 1933. They defaulted Friday on debt that was supposed to be guaranteed by the Puerto Rican Constitution. In other words, Puerto Rico was supposed to pay creditors who hold general obligation bonds before paying anyone else and even the police. But the governor, Padilla, said no. He argued that paying teachers, emergency personnel, and other critical needs must come first. The administration continues to take historic steps to ensure that the residents of Puerto Rico continue to receive essential services while the Commonwealth faces a delicate financial situation. So what it is the island, they're not planning to make any of the $800 million payment to its bondholders that were due today. Puerto Rico's government says it's in a dire financial position with only about $300 million in cash on hand right now. And this is the first time that a state or a state-like entity has failed to pay a general obligation bond since the Great Depression. They said that the default was expected. It isn't causing much havoc in the wider bond market, I'm not quite sure you'll see a knee-jerk reaction, but you might see something a little bit later on. And so,
well, there's also and how is it going to work out? If they've got $300 million that they can spend ultimately on police and fire departments and teachers and whatever, how long before they run out of the $300 million? Because the problem is one of productivity. You know, they've got to have more money coming in. And if they can't borrow more and they don't have sufficient productivity, they are going to exhaust their savings. And the only question is how long does it take before they exhaust their savings? And when that happens, then what? Then there's no money for police. There's no money for fire departments. There's no money for school teachers. And now we break down into something like Venezuela. Now they're trying. There's some movement afoot to try to make Puerto Rico the 51st state. And then we can support them. We can declare them to be a state, and then we can send them money, and they can kick back and relax, or who knows what's going to happen. But there's some movement afoot. I'm not going to argue that it's going to happen anytime soon, but some people are arguing they need to become a state. President Obama signed some document.
Yeah, it was a rescue bill.
Rescue bill. I think it amounts to you fall off the cruise ship and they drop a life preserver into the water, but the cruise ship keeps on sailing. All right.
Yeah,
you
it's funny.
Sink
this
now
boat.
We gave you a life preserver. Yeah, but it's still 40 miles to shore.
He just signed that bill yesterday afternoon. And then just hours later, the governor issued the executive order saying that they would stop making the payments. And yesterday I did a little report on my 20 minutes about Puerto Rico, and you know the whole idea I said was no, they're going to default. Today they defaulted, but it just goes to show there's nothing else that they can do. There isn't anything else they can do. There isn't anything else that Europe can do. There isn't anything else that the United States can do. Eventually, a default is going to happen. And they can trigger along. They can print as much money as they can. They can juggle the books. They can juggle the numbers. They can do whatever is necessary. They can issue stimulus in an equal manner throughout the world. But the bottom line is they will eventually default, and that default is not that far away. And here this says that defaults normally trigger lawsuits, but the bill Congress passed forbids bondholders from suing the island for several months.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to appoint some sort of a board
And what are they going to do with the bondholders and the bonds over the course of the next several months when they can't sue?
Well, if one of those is George Soros, he'll get paid. And if it's Mike Smith from Timbuktu, he won't.
Well, my guess is they're going to they're going to treat it like Greece. And they're going to say, what we need to do is restructure the debt. And what they mean by restructure, when they say restructure, they say, look, Melody, we owe you $100 million. We know that. But we want you to agree that the debt should be reduced to, let's say, $50 million. And if you agree, it's not a default. See? If you agree to restructuring, it doesn't count as a default. A default is when you don't get paid. But if you agree not to get paid, then it's not a default. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to restructure the debt. And that's what they'll try to do over the course of the next several months. We'll see how it works. And, of course, the argument is that if you don't accept the $50 million instead of the $100 million we owe you, Melody, we'll just default on the whole thing and you won't get a dime. So would you have... Well, you know, would you rather have nothing or $50 million?
And you know, it's interesting, Nate, that, you know, July 1st, this report only came out a little after 3 o'clock. So, you know, you didn't have any impact, major impact on the stock markets already or any other market, really. And going into a three-day weekend isn't going to make an impact come Tuesday. I don't know, but we saw gold have a nice, you know, gold was struggling a little bit early this morning, but it had, you know, it ended out the day nice. And a lot of the big moves came, you know, right around this, that this was reported. So yeah, Tuesday will be interesting. Now we're going to have next week, because Monday is a holiday, it's going to be a lot of light. It's going to be light trading next week because everyone is taking advantage of that 4-day week, and with July 4th being on Monday. So it could be very volatile next week.
And but, when it's light trading, it's more susceptible to manipulation.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is, you should take today. I mean, today's another example of one little report from Puerto Rico defaulting on the debt causes and gold skyrockets. Yeah, it's not up 60 or 100 like it was on the Brexit. But it just goes to show you how it is responding. And we even had the Dow Jones almost approaching 18,000 again. So, you know, all the paper markets were heading back up. And, you know, gold has held up very, very well, even with the manipulation. So don't wait.
Reality is beginning to sink through. And one of the things about it is gold is not a market that's, you know, that 99% of investors participate in. The market is only responsive to a relatively small percentage of total investors who have brains enough to see what's going on. And as long as they do have brains enough to see what's going on, you have to accept for the manipulation, and it's easy to say that, but truth is the manipulation is, of course, dangerous. But still, the reality, the fundamentals are going to carry. They're going to be imposed by gold over the course of the next several years.
And you know what?
Both ups and downs, but we're going up.
I hate bringing this up, but already I've been inundated with emails from, you know, various people saying things about, oh, if you're a gold bug, you know, don't worry. And it's... You can't pay attention to those emails. You can't pay attention to, you know, folks' opinions. Look at the fundamentals. They're not our opinion. The fundamentals are not our opinion. It's the truth. And we use those fundamentals to help you understand why they're important, so you don't get caught up in, you know, in someone's pitch on why you need to do this and why you need to do that. And if you want to speculate it, that's fine, but get it insured with gold, physical gold, and take delivery.
Well, one of the things we can talk about, we're going to take a break here for some commercials, but when we come back, we'll talk about the relationship of manipulation to fundamentals in the price of gold. And we'll have a comment on that I hope you find interesting. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back in a moment. We'll be right back.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. When we broke just a moment ago, I said, I'll tell you something, let's make a point about the relationship between fundamentals and market manipulation. And the point is this. There is very little point to manipulating the market. I won't say there's none. I won't say it's impossible. But the fundamental reason for manipulating the market is because fundamentals, left to itself, the fundamentals have pushed gold much higher. The fact that they're manipulating the market is not just an opportunity to make a quick buck by fooling all the idiots. It's a reflection of the fact that they need to hold gold down to supposedly sustain the illusion that the dollar, the fiat dollar, still has value. That's, to me, fundamental reason behind that. And if it's true, the manipulation itself, if you believe the markets are manipulated, and most people do, there's certainly a good consensus that the markets are, particularly the precious metal markets, are manipulated, but even the stock markets and the rest. If you accept that, then you have to accept that the fundamentals are working in opposition to the manipulation. The manipulation is there to suppress, ignore, defy the fundamentals. And the point is, fundamentals, as long as manipulation is still there, it's evidence that the fundamentals are eventually going to assert themselves, overcome, and the price of gold is going to go up dramatically. I don't know if that makes much sense to people, but the manipulation itself is evidence that the fundamentals favor gold going up dramatically. So, ta-da. What do you think about that melody?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very valid, and it's...
Well, it's just a way of looking.
It's a way
and, you
of
know,
looking
I, you know, I'm not telling this necessarily, you know, it's not the 11th commandment and the rest of it, but you look at things. If the fundamentals of gold were not to go make the price of gold go up much dramatically, if that hadn't been the fundamentals for a decade or more, really
yeah,
since the 70s, why would they manipulate? It's
because
telling you. Fundamentals. Yes, yeah. buy.
Exactly. And, you know, sure, the prices can go high, but people lose sight when you don't follow those fundamentals. You lose sight for the real purpose of gold in your portfolio, and people become focused on the price. It isn't about price when it comes to gold and silver, you know, because I do believe all things are relative. If gold stayed at $1,300 and we had a world collapse of the economies and world markets, you would still fare better holding $1,300 gold than anything else that you could even dream of holding. So again, gold is relative to everything, and that is the beauty of gold. And sure, I don't expect gold to stay at $1,300. I do expect it to go higher, and we're going to see it. But that example was to show you, you can't be so fixated on the prices of gold and silver, because ultimately, you're better off holding the physical gold, not the paper gold, but the physical gold than anything else, because all things are relative. And that's what people don't understand. Gold protects your purchasing power. And again, it's the fundamentals and, you know, prices. I do believe we're going to see 5,000 gold easily. Easily we're going to see 5,000 gold. The world collapses. Their ultimate goal is to collapse the economies and the markets. And again, as Al says, this isn't the economies anymore. It's a stock market. It's all focused up because that's where everyone's money is at. That's where they make their most money, I believe. So anyway, there was an interesting report, and it shows you, you can look at this report one way or another. It's out of the Wall Street Journal, and you can view it like, the number one country on this list. Yeah, they don't have the immigration. They don't have the politics. They don't have everything else like we have, which makes them beat us. But in the meantime, this shows you just how our standard of living is dropping. The United States has fallen to 19th place in a global ranking of well-being, down 3 spots from last year. You would think the 3 spots would be significant for a country that is supposed to be as rich as the United States. This is the 2016, I don't know, it's some global index, a social progress index, but it is one of the most comprehensive international measures of well-being. America was eclipsed by Belgium, Spain, and France. And according to this measure, and it evaluates countries on their ability to provide basic human needs, water and shelter, the foundations of well-being, health and education, opportunity, measures of equality and personal rights. So it's like the more they fight for opportunity, the lower we go. But with the U.S. being the world's largest economy, that's measured by GDP, and that's also is arguable, but here we are dropping from three places. And Finland topped the index this year. It was followed by Canada, Denmark, Australia, Switzerland. And again, you can't really compare the equals to the U.S. They don't have the immigration problem. We have reasons why we really dropped. But we shouldn't have those reasons. And,
well, I've made the comment before, and I know the comment sounds at first, you hear it the first time, you say it's crazy, but I don't think it is. When we talk about the United States, a lot of people still see this as the richest nation on earth. Well, that's debatable, all right? It's debatable because we're also the most indebted nation on earth. If I own a little home here that's worth $200,000, and my neighbor owns a home that's worth $500,000, who's the wealthier individual? Well, we're going to presume the neighbor is. But what if he's got $800,000 in debt and I don't have any debt? Now who's the wealthiest? Yeah, he's got a $500,000 home, but he's got $800,000 in debt. Is he really wealthy, or is he in some significant peril? If you compare him to somebody who's got a $200,000 home and no debt, who's the richest? And the guy with the $200,000 home isn't. The point I'm making is that you can't just sit back and say, oh, we're the wealthiest nation on earth. We have more debt than any other nation on earth. It's evidence we might be. We could make a compelling argument that we are the poorest nation on earth, as irrational as that sounds. When you calculate the average debt for every, if reports we've heard that the real debt, John Williams, shadowstats.com, he calculates the total national debt. That's not everything. It's not private debt, not corporate debt, just the national debt of the government, $100 trillion. That translates into about $300,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. The North Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff has said, no, it's over $200 trillion. If they're right, it's over $600,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in this country. Every family of four, your fair share of the national debt, if Lawrence Kotlikoff is right and the Congressional Budget Office is right, family of four, your fair share of the debt is $2.4 million. Now, how wealthy are you? Yes. I can hear you. Melody's... I don't know whether she was. I thought for a second.
I'm hyperventilating.
Get the oxygen. Get the oxygen. Let me get the oxygen.
I'm hyperventilating. And you're absolutely right. We have the greatest debt of any nation in the world. I get that. You know, but I view as riches as sometimes opportunities. I view riches as, you know, our standard of living was always. Used to be at one point in time better than most, and you know this is why a lot of people wanted to come here. Blah blah blah. They had those opportunities, and a lot of things are measured to GDP. So I'm not, when I say richest, I don't actually mean that. Yes, we're rich by because we don't have any debt and so forth, and everything is compared to that GDP. But what that GDP doesn't bring in under, and what it doesn't report and include, is our falling incomes. The rising number of people on food stamps. What about, I don't know, I was reading something about our student debt levels. And so a lot of that, you know, doesn't play into that. But I think the report of this, the point of this report was showing that we are falling as a nation. And it is because of all these things that it's not talked about, it's not reported, and it's not addressed. It's not addressed, but very few. At least with Donald Trump, at least we're beginning to hear a little bit about it, you know, from mainstream media. I mean, we talk about it all the time, and, you know, we bring it to the attention to the listeners and reasons why you need gold and silver to, because of these things, how we're failing. And when we're failing, it doesn't even make sense that we have stock markets, the Dow, that's comprised of 30 companies at 18,000, or even the NASDAQ or the S&P at the levels that they are, along with our debt. No, it's not sustainable.
You talk about the gross domestic product, GDP. All right. What would it be if the government hadn't doubled the debt in the last 7.5 years?
Exactly.
Doubled it. All right. In one administration, they have doubled the national debt. And that's on the official national debt. All right. The real national debt is presumably much higher, but they admit to having doubled the debt. What would the gross domestic product be if we had not gone deeper into debt? And how are we going to pay that debt off? That debt has created the illusion of a gross domestic product that is, again, it's not real. So when you sit back and you say, oh, we live in the richest country on earth, well, maybe not. And if it comes to a point where we actually have to calculate and repay the debt, we're going to be in a situation as bad as Puerto Rico.
Well, we know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to be defaulting. It's just a matter of time.
I don't,
It's just a matter of time. And, but we were a country, and you know this. You know, we got 5 minutes. Well, go ahead.
Well, Melody, now I forgot what I was going to say.
No, I know what I was going to say, but I'll.
But
just,
I didn't
just,
know what you were going to say.
Gonna
so
hold, I'm going to hold my thoughts.
Well, why don't you? Well, this is.
We were the greatest nation in the world.
Yeah, I know. And how did we lose that?
We're the greatest nation.
But we lost it thanks to the treachery of our own government.
And along with the people of this country. But we were, the people were bought and paid for. They are part of the problem.
Well, I agree.
They allowed it.
Lunch. Everybody's in favor of the free lunch. And the government says, we'll give you something for nothing. You don't have to work. We're going to give you, you can just survive without working. Because, boy, we sure do like you. And you're entitled and the rest is crap. Well, there are no free lunches. Everybody says that, but how do they create the illusion of free lunches? By going into debt. Let's have dinner. I'm going to provide everybody who's listening with a free dinner. Only thing what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on your credit card, ladies and gentlemen, or on your children's credit card, or on your grandchildren's credit card. We won't have to pay for dinner tonight, but your kids are going to pay for it. And maybe even you are going to have to pay for it, although there'll be a delay. You don't have to, it looks like it's free for the moment, but the truth is the free lunches are all accomplished by means of debt. And sooner or later, some poor chumps are going to have to pay that debt. And then it'll become apparent that, oh my gosh, those lunches weren't free after all. We have been foolish insofar as we have allowed ourselves to be seduced and beguiled by government's promise of endless free lunches. They're going to give. I saw a graph just in the last day or two, and it explained how the rich are getting richer. It showed how the actual average income for the rich is rising, and the average income for the poor is rising thanks to more generous welfare. And whose income is falling? Middle class. The mules that pull the plow. The people who really work in this country are going broke while the super rich get more rich and the poor become, they're better off. They're making headway. Huh? But the people who work for a living, they're going down the pipe. It can't continue. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anyone wants. Sooner or later, there's going to be a moment when someone is going to stand up, just as they have in Puerto Rico, and they say, oh, we can't pay the debt right now, so we can continue to support the police, the fire department, the school teachers, and here in the United States, the people on welfare and the rich people getting subsidies. They're going to back off on the debt, and then they're going to say, oh, wait. We're not only going to back off on repaying the debt, we can't even supply what the people want for welfare. We can't supply the subsidies for the rich. They're going to back off on that too. They're going to back off on paying the people who work for government. There is going to be trouble unlike anything any living man or woman has seen. All right? Some of you may remember the Great Depression. I don't, of course. I was born after it.
Really?
Barely. That's what stimulated the economy. They said, look, Al's been born. And they said, oh, well, things are okay now, baby. Uh-huh. All right, that's what got us out. It wasn't World War II. It was my birth. That's what really turned the tide. But what was my point? Some of you will have may vaguely recall the Great Depression, but you would have been children at the time, and I doubt that it really affected you to a great and adverse degree. Kids just put up with stuff. Give them a rubber ball and a rag doll and they're happy.
But they remember the lack of food.
Yeah.
They remember. No, unless you were able to retain your wealth during that time. But no, many, those that are still alive still remember,
all I'm saying is whatever you remember, you're going to have a new set of memories. Stick around. Got more memories coming, and the next set are going to be more traumatic than those you might be retaining from prior to World War II. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please hang in.
Afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010. Or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Esk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and as you all know, it's 4th of July weekend coming up here. 4th of July is Monday, and therefore I want to say something. What are we celebrating? A lot of people don't get it. They don't remember it. They think 4th of July is, well, it's a 3-day weekend, it's when we won the Revolution or the Civil War. Some people actually think it's relative to the Civil War. I think it's when the revolution started. So I think it's when the American Revolution ended and was won. Right? The truth is, what we are celebrating on the 4th of July is the Declaration of Independence, the document that was enacted on July 4th, year of our Lord, 1776. And the proper name for that document is the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. All right? That's the proper. We come to call it Declaration of Independence. The proper name is the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. And it starts out and it says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands is what they actually say, which have connected them with another, and to assume the among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled them, a decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Long sentence, long complex sentence, but what they're just saying, look, we're busting loose from Great Britain, and we want to tell you why. All right? And they go on later in the document. They list the various things they've done to try to placate Great Britain. They've done to try to resolve what problems they believed were there peacefully. and they've been ignored throughout all of that. But then after this first sentence paragraph where they tell us why they need to let the world know why this declaration is being made, they start out with a sentence that we've all heard and virtually no one understands. No one, almost nobody appreciates. This is what we're celebrating, this next sentence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, everybody's heard that and very few people appreciate it. It says that we all get our rights from God, right? That's what makes them unalienable. They flow from our Creator. It says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and these rights necessarily attach at the moment of your creation. Right? These aren't civil rights. They're not from government. They don't attach at the moment of your birth. They attach at the moment of your creation. There's no abortion. An unborn child has the right to life under the Declaration of Independence. There's no abortion allowed under the Declaration of Independence. That child has the, from the moment of creation, that child has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they go on to the third sentence, which is a correlative of the second sentence. Its second sentence is telling us we get our most important rights from God, our Creator. Third sentence says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And it goes on, it says, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. But it's, the first half of that sentence is what is important to understand. It's all important, but this for me is vital. They're saying first and the second sentence that we each get our rights from God. And I have the same rights you do, and Melody does, and everyone else, that we are equally endowed with these rights by God as an attribute of our creation. Third sentence, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. They're telling us that the purpose of government is to secure to every man, woman, and even unborn child their God-given, unalienable rights. That was the purpose of government envisioned by the founding fathers. We have strayed far from that purpose. We have strayed far from understanding what you're going to be celebrating this next Monday when you have the day off and you can go out and get sunburned and make cook hamburgers and steaks and hot dogs on the grill and have a great time. This is what it's all about. When they declared that all men are created equal, that they are all endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, they did something that was unprecedented in Western history. No one had ever done this before. Prior to this, when King George, for example, in England, he was the King of England. Why? Because he had the divine right of kings. Why? Because he alone received his rights in a coronation ceremony in a church, and those rights flowed from God. He was king because he had God-given rights. All the rest were subjects because they did not. When the American Revolution took place and they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they meant all, including King George. And they were all equally endowed. They didn't use the word equally, but they said and they were all that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. There's an equal endowment. Everybody has it. You have the same rights as King George. I have the same rights as King George. Melody has the same rights as King George. What does that mean? It means we were intended to be a nation of sovereigns. No small thing. If you have God-given rights, one of the fundamentals of government that's been true for millennia is the government serves the sovereign. Government doesn't serve the people. Government serves the sovereign. And historically, there was one sovereign if you had a monarchy. There were a group of sovereigns if you had an aristocracy. But the vast majority were subjects who did not receive their rights from God. When this Declaration of Independence was enacted, they said, no, we got a new system going on here. revolutionary and unprecedented, and we are going to declare every man and woman to be endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights that elevates all of us to the status of sovereigns, and that means government is there to be our public servant, not our master. They serve all the sovereigns. They do not oppress the public. That was the idea that this government started with. That was the foundation for American exceptionalism. People talk about, they bandy that term, all American is exceptional. And they tell us why. Because we invented the internet or some damn thing? Because we had a high standard of living? Because they have some... This is why. This was the basis for American exceptionalism. We are the only nation in history that declared all men to be equally endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. This is the only nation that ever did it, and the government doesn't like it. The government doesn't want to be your servant. The government doesn't want to be the public servant. The government wants to be the public master. And this is the nature of, this is the essence of the conflict that exists between the people of this country, or at least many of them, and what passes for government today. Government wants to rule. They claim they're the sovereign. But the American people declared with the Declaration of Independence, which we are going to celebrate this Monday. You're going to still celebrate it. Most people have forgotten. So what are we celebrating? I don't know. We got a day off. Who cares? Let's get drunk and cook some steaks. This is what you're celebrating, and I want to remind you of that. I want you to get this through, because this is more important than any amount of steak or beer that you can find or imagine. This was the declaration that made us a free people. And we've lost sight of it. It's fallen into our... People think this is, you know, an interesting anecdote in history, and the Declaration of Independence, yeah, who cares? This thing is so powerful, so important, if you understand it, that from my perspective, it's almost suitable for adding as another chapter to the Bible. I'm not saying that should be done, but I'm saying that it wouldn't offend me if right after Revelation, we got one more chapter for the Bible. It's called the Declaration of Independence. Now, I certainly don't expect that to happen, but this, and it is a spiritual document, saying you get your rights from God, and they are unalienable, meaning no one can take them from you, and you can't even waive them. They have to be respected, and even if you are too ignorant, too young, too senile to understand what those rights are, the third sentence says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. The government was obligated to secure your rights even if you were too ignorant to know what those rights were. That is a powerful and wonderful idea. That makes for a government that the world could only dream of. And yet that's what we had. And government has sat back in the last couple hundred years and they said, to heck with that. We don't want to be their servants. We want to rule, baby. We're so smart. Look where they've taken us. While the government is ruling, while the government is ignoring these fundamental principles coming out of the Declaration of Independence, where have they taken us? Taken us in my lifetime from the richest nation on earth to the most indebted. All right, they won't protect our own borders from invasion by illegal aliens. They move our jobs to foreign countries and our industries. No one can look at this and say, oh, the government is working for our benefit. Our government is guilty of treason at almost every level. They are destroying this country. They're selling it out in order to support a new world order, a global government, one world government. That's who your congressman and your senator are typically representing. They're not here to do good for you. They're here to do good for themselves and for the new world order. Something's got to be done about it. And it could be done if more people would pay attention to what it says in the Declaration of Independence and reason their way through it and say, my God, this is what this country was all about. This is what it was meant to be. And we've lost it while we've been tempted by all the free lunches and the shiny apples these snakes have to provide. We've forgotten, but we could remember if you wanted to. You could make the effort to study. You could make the effort to learn. You could make the effort to remember. And this 4th of July, you could do something that's almost, I've seen it one time. I'm 71 years old. I've seen one 4th of July in my lifetime where someone actually stood up and read the Declaration of Independence. I won't even claim that they understood it, but they read it, right, in public. And it's something you might do. You might think about it. Monday's going to roll around. Maybe you could set your kids down and say, look, here's what this is all about. This is what made this country great, the principles found in that Declaration of Independence. And incidentally, it's still law. It's not just an interesting historical document. It is part of the organic law of the United States of America. It was declared as such in the revised statutes of 1873 or 1875. I can't remember the year clearly. But in the revised statutes of Congress, they declared the organic law of the United States of America to consist of 1, Declaration of Independence, 1776, 2, Articles of Confederation, 1781, 3, Northwest Territorial Ordinance, 1787, and 4, the Constitution of the United States, ratified by the American people and first ratified in 1788. At no point does Congress say that the Constitution replaced the 3 previous documents. All 3 of them are still valid and legally effective today if you know how to get at them. This is not just wishful thinking. This is the law, except we've forgotten it. And we've allowed government to do great harm to this nation. And it's happened with our consent, our ignorance, our apathy, our indifference, our willingness to spend our time watching TV rather than pulling out something like the Declaration of Independence. It's not a long document. I mean, it might take you, if it took you an hour to read the whole thing to study it, to study it at least, you know, superficially, it's 10, 15 minutes to read this thing. If you wanted to study it, it'll take a little more time, but you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your children. And so I'm simply hoping that here comes 4th of July next Monday, and when all the kids are celebrating, yay, we don't have to go to school. And the adults are saying, yay, we don't have to go to work. Somebody ought to sit down and tell them, here's what we're celebrating. And we'd better recall the reason for this celebration, or we are going, insofar as we've lost, insofar as we've forgotten it, it's one of the reasons we're headed into a lower standard of living. It's one of the reasons we're moving toward a police state. Huh? And all that really needs to be done, read it, talk about it. We celebrate it every 4th of July, but nobody thinks about it. So I'm recommending that you have a good 4th of July. I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July weekend, but I also hope that you'll pick up a copy of the Declaration of Independence and that you'll spend a moment reading it, maybe studying it, and communicating it to your family and your children and your parents. Have a good weekend. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back on Tuesday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money. Must be funny.